Lord, no doubt have missed being in your house, and I just thank you, Lord, for letting them be here today. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here now, and Lord, those that will come in the next hour, just bless them. But Lord, now, Lord, just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Bind the devil off this place, Lord. We don't want him here. Lord, we sure do want to hear from heaven. Just meet with us in this Sunday school hour. Bless us. Bless these teachers in the back that are dealing with these kids. Lord, bless those kids. Lord, give them a blessing, Lord. Reward them for being in church. Reward their parents for bringing them to church, Lord. Thank you so much for parents that bring their kids to your home. God, just meet with us now, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. We've been dealing on Wednesday nights with some spiritual warfare stuff. For those of you who have been here, you know, Wednesday night we learned that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. And who's our enemy? It's the devil. So with that in mind, I want you to keep that in mind this morning and maybe next Sunday morning as well. I want to look at, this is kind of strange, but I want to look at who Satan really is. And first of all, I just want to start by saying he is nothing compared to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no power in him that God cannot control. He's a being that was created. He's a very personal being. He's a very evil being. But he's also a defeated being this morning. I want you to understand that. But it is good if we as a church identify our enemy. It is the devil. This morning, look at verse number 1 in chapter 4. The Bible says, beloved, believe not, what's the next two words? Every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible tells us, believe not every spirit. Did you know that in life, oftentimes, things seem to get busy, stressful, sometimes even overwhelming. Things could be great, and all of a sudden, tragedy could strike. Anyone want to testify there? Things seem like they're going good, church is going good, and then all of a sudden the big C word happens again. COVID happens and we have to miss church for a couple of weeks. Now, did any of you enjoy missing church? Absolutely not. How many would have rather been in church than sitting at home last week? All of us. Nobody likes to miss church. Things are looking good, but did you know the devil is going to try every way he can to get his little fingers on what God is trying to do at New Hope Independent Baptist Church? He's going to try to do it, and we need to identify it as that. Things happen that are out of our control. It's times like these that we must know and understand that we are very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. You know, Satan will always attack you when you're trying to do right. But let me tell you something. When you get down and someone upsets you or something happens in life, see, Satan does not play fair. Satan will attack you when you're at your lowest of your lows, when you're in the hospital bed wondering if you're going to make it. Satan's going to attack you and say, you know, don't you know if God really loved you, this and this and this wouldn't have happened. Satan's going to attack you when you're hurting. Satan's going to attack you in your marriage, when you're mad at your husband, when you're mad at your wife, when you're mad at your children. Listen, Satan's going to attack in those times. He's a cheater. He don't like you. He don't like your husband. He don't like your wife. He don't like your children. He don't like your mom. He don't like your dad. He don't like your preacher. He don't like your Sunday school teacher. He don't like your junior church workers. He's 100% anti-God. We've got to understand that. But the Bible does teach us that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the what, church? The world. We've got to understand that when we're down, we're very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. Satan always likes to fight dirty. He's a cheater. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's 100% opposed to our God. So when these things come and we realize that we're being cheated out of something in life, is that God? No. When these things come and we realize, you know, something happened and we're trying to find out the truth and everybody around us is just telling lies. Is that of God? No, that is of the devil. And we need to identify our enemy. Is it the people that are lying to us? Are they our enemy? No. We wrestle not against what, church? Flesh and blood. We've got to identify our enemy as the devil. So what do we know about Satan? Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 28. What do we know about Satan this morning? Well, we know that he's a created being. We know that Satan would not exist, just like you would not exist, if God did not want you to be here. But God created him. Look at Ezekiel 28 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God," talking of Satan. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast," what, church? "Created." Let's read it again. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast," what? So when God created Satan, did you know that God doesn't create anything bad? Well, what about sin? Well, who's behind the sin? That's the devil. See, when God got done with creation, he looked and he said it was good. Everything that he had put his hand to, everything that he spoke into existence, God looked at it and he said, "This is good." And what that means is it was not bad. But look, even Satan, he said, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." So one day Satan decides, well, God made me perfect, but God, I really, really wish I could just be like you. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to be like you. And at that moment, Satan got out of place. He realized that, well, you know, one, we're never going to be like God. Okay, you're just not. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be pure. You're never going to be sinless. You're just not going to be like that. But the moment that Satan said, "I want to be like God," he got out of place. See, God made him perfect. He calls him that. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So we know that Satan is a created being. "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God." This is when he got cast out. "And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." So we know that Satan was and is a created being. Because he is God created, God has dominion and power over Satan. We need to understand that. Yes, it seems like sometimes Satan's a pretty powerful dude. And really and truly, if you'll study your Bible, he's the prince and power of this world. God calls him that. He is pretty powerful. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the what, church? World. We know that God is more powerful than Satan. He can only do to a child of God what he is granted permission to do. You can look at 1 Peter 5:8. If you want to, Satan is a personal being. Number two, he is a very personal being. Like most of us, Satan thinks very highly of himself. Now, how many of us would be guilty and say, "I think pretty highly of myself sometimes"? All of us, if we'd be honest, would say that. We think pretty highly of ourselves. But what does the Bible teach about that? Satan will often sound and appear really smart while trying to entice you. You say, "What do you mean?" I'm thinking like this. If Satan came to you and said, "Here, you do this and this and this, and this is going to be your consequence," would you do that? No, because here's the thing. We always get enticed with the decision or the choice, but we never think about the consequence. The Bible says the wages of sin is what, church? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus had to die because of why? Because of sin. Because of whose sin? Say it. My sin. Everybody say it. My sin. Jesus had to die because of my sin. So when Satan comes to us and entices us with something, the Bible says when lust is conceived, you know, it's not always the thought that gets you. The thought sometimes you cannot help. Do you see where I'm coming from? The bad thought is going to come from the devil, but here's the deal. Is the devil giving you a bad thought, does that make you a sinner? Nope. It's what you do with that thought that becomes the problem. Either you bring every thought captive into obedience unto the Lord and you say, God, there's no way, no how that thought was from you. I'm resisting this thought in the name of Jesus Christ and through his blood. Take this away from me. And Satan resists the devil. What does he do? He has to flee. He has no choice but to flee. Or you take that thought and you ponder and you say, man, I wonder what would happen if I did that. Anybody ever guilty of that? Oh, yeah. And then maybe a few minutes later, you know, when you were a kid, you thought, man, mom's going to kill me if I do this, but she'll never find out. And then, well, they always find out somehow. It's just, my kids ask all the time, like, how do you always catch us? And I don't know. I'm praying that it's the Lord giving me and your mother wisdom to keep a good eye out on you. But when we catch you, it's like, I always ask them, I'm saying, how many times do you have to get caught before you realize that you're always going to get punished for this? Well, I didn't think I'd get caught this time. Look, how many of us as Christians feel like that before God? It's like, God, I didn't know you were looking. I didn't know that you knew what I was doing on Thursday night or Friday night. I was in church Sunday morning. I know you saw me there, but you really watching me all the time. Oh, yeah, he's an omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's everywhere all the time. You cannot hide from the eyes of your God in heaven. It's not going to happen. You need to understand that. But Satan is very personal. Go over to Matthew chapter number 4. Ooh. Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Look how personal he is. He even got really up close and personal with our Savior here. Matthew chapter number 4. Let's start in verse 3. The Bible says, and when the tempter, who's the tempter? That's the devil, came to him, Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Now listen, some people might get a little bit confused with this scripture, but if you'll study your Bible, the devil is the prince and power of the what, church? The world. So really, right here, Satan is not out of line. He's taking him into his realm. He's the prince and power of the world. You ever think about this? He's showing him all. Now, God created this stuff, but Satan is the prince and power of the what? The world. So he took him up into all these things. And see, he's trying to tempt Jesus, just like he tries to tempt you. But look how easy Jesus came out of this. Again, verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the what, church? World, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil, what did he do? Leaveth him. But I want you to look how the devil tried to manipulate Scripture here. If you look in verse number 6, the Bible says, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now listen, the devil is never going to correctly quote Scripture. He's a con artist. Remember that. Everything that God has done that's good, the devil tries to manipulate. But look what the devil said right here. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Go to the book of Psalm 91. I want to show you what the Bible says. He was trying to quote this right here. Psalm chapter number 91. This is what the devil was referring to. But now I want to show you the difference in what the devil... See, when you change God's word, It's a bad, bad deal. Now let's look what the, hold your place there. And the devil said in verse number 6 of Matthew 4, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. But look at Psalm 91 verse 11. The Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the devil said, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. But what did the book of, what did the Bible say? He shall give his angels charge over thee. In other words, there was nothing that the devil was going to be able to do to tempt Jesus into falling for his manipulation. Those angels were there to protect his mind in that time of temptation. But you see how the devil changed the word of God? But now let's look at how Jesus quoted Scripture. If you look in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4, but he answered and said unto him, it is written. I love how Jesus referred back to the Old Testament three times here. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is Jesus quoting the Old Testament. So for if you're one of those people that think the Old Testament don't apply to you, listen, the whole Bible is not written to you. Understand that. But it is written for you. You have to understand, it's not all directly at us, but the Bible says every word of God is profitable. So it's all for us. But look what Jesus said right here in Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by what, church? Bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. See, that's what Jesus was doing. He was quoting Scripture to him. Look at verse number 7 in Matthew 4. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 6:16. Look again, here's another reference. Deuteronomy 6:16 says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa. Verse number 10 in Matthew 4. Here again, Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 10 in verse number 20. Deuteronomy 10 in verse 20. It's funny, Jesus used the book of Deuteronomy to beat the devil here, ain't it? I don't think I've ever done that before. not my go-to book. But it was Jesus' go-to book. Look what he said. Deuteronomy 10:20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou what, church? And to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. And then as soon as Satan understood that, number one, Jesus was not going to budge away from the Scripture. Not one time did Jesus get in his flesh. He could have slapped him. I mean, think about it. He's Jesus. He could have killed him. He could have done away with him right there. If he wanted to, he could have put a permanent end to the devil. If he wanted to. He created him. But what did he do? He used the Word of God as his defense mechanism. Folks, that's what we have to do. If we want the devil to flee, and by the way, he has no choice but to flee when you use the Bible as your defense. It's not about your words. It's not about what you think. As soon as you start thinking, well, here's what I think I'll do. Stop. Stop thinking. Okay, you're thinking too hard. You ever have someone tell you that before? You're thinking too much. Look, what even Jesus referred back to the Bible, and he was God himself. He did not have to do that, but he knew. And here's the deal. He also knew that he was supposed to be, he was going to ultimately be an example that we should be able to follow. And if he used the Bible and it worked for Jesus, what will work for us? The Bible. All three times he used the Bible. Satan has to flee whenever we use the Word of God as our defense. So we saw that Satan is a created being. We saw that he's a personal being. He got really personal with Jesus there. But let's look at how Satan is an evil being. Look at John chapter number 8. Satan is an evil being. Anyone testify to that? Say amen. He's very evil. And you got to be careful because, you know, Satan likes to use individuals to do his work. You know, just like God does, Satan tries to copy everything. John chapter 8, verse 38. John chapter 8, verse 38. The Bible says, I speak that, this is Jesus speaking, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. He's talking about the devil. Notice the lowercase f there and the capital F on when he's talking about God. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Look what Jesus said to them. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, what did he say? And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Look at verse 39. He said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. You say, what are you saying this morning? I'm asking you a simple question. Next service, the Lord has led me to preach a message on the blood of Christ. And you know, I don't know if it was just for me or if it's for you sitting in Sunday school right now, but I know this. There's an awful lot of confused people in this world. There's an awful lot of people that think they got it because of traditions of men. Folks, it is high time that we've got to understand that salvation is nothing to mess around with. It's not something that you should sit and wonder if you are saved or not. You're silly for doing that. It's not something that you should look to your husband or look to your wife and maybe if I, you know, everyone thinks I'm saved, and if I tell the church I'm not saved and I go get saved, I'm going to be embarrassed. They're going to laugh at me. What kind of Christian would laugh at somebody for getting saved? Don't believe that lie. Where's the lie coming from? Who is that? The devil. Of course he's going to tell you that. He's going to try to convince you to never go and ask Jesus to save you. He's gonna convince you that you do not need Jesus. He's gonna convince you you have more time. He's gonna convince you you do enough stuff here on earth. You'll make it. No, you will not. Folks, listen. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You know, there are some, I do believe there are evidences of salvation. The fruit of the Spirit being some of them. But I also know this in my own life, some things that changed for me when I got born again, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, you could never convince me I'm going to hell. Not going to happen, because I know what the Bible says, and I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting by faith through grace alone, or by grace through faith alone, that God has saved me. And what else should I trust in? But here's what I know. Before I was saved, I could sin. And I did know what sin was. I mean, you know, and you know, you, when as a little kid, you do something bad and you get that spanking from mom and dad, you know, they whip you into shape and then you do it again and then they whip you again. And then, but, you know, really and truly, if you'd be honest, you never felt bad about your sin. Now, you felt horrible that you got a spanking and that hurt, but that's not repentance. Look, when you're saved, you have someone living within you called the Holy Spirit of God that absolutely hates sin. He does not want anything to do with it. So if he's living within you, within your heart, and if you are saved, he is living in your heart. When you go to sin, first of all, and I know I say it a lot, but look, the Lord's leading me here. First of all, when you go to do something, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So when you're about to sin, you ever get that feeling that says, probably shouldn't do that? Look, guys, that's not the devil. The devil's not going to tell you not to sin. Okay? So that's a good evidence that, like, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, where sin abound, grace did what? Much more abound. And then if you do follow through with the sin, here's the thing. How do you feel about your sin? Are you proud of it? Are you proud about it? Do you boast about your sin? I've seen people in churches that, you know, they'd be in church for a long time, and then all of a sudden they get hurt in the church, and, you know, really and truly, they say they're saved, but, man, and then something happens, they get hurt, and they do everything they can to hurt people of God, to hurt the church, but really and truly, they're hurting themselves. But look, how do you feel about your sin? Are you sorry because you got caught? It's like, yeah, I'm repenting from my sin because I got caught. No. You're already caught. Understand that. Just because your wife don't know, just because your husband don't know, just because your mom don't know, and your dad don't know, and your kids don't know, listen, God knows your sin. And as a child of God, with the Holy Spirit living within you, you are not going to love sin. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. So if you love sin, you better start asking the question, who's my real father here? Amen? This is no joke. Churches are full of people that are saved, that when they breathe their last breath, they're going to be right down there with that rich man, because, you know, they thought that their riches on earth would get them to heaven. They thought that giving would get them to heaven. They thought that being good people would get them to heaven. They're going to wake up, and in hell, they're going to lift up their eyes, and they're going to remember every single time God gave them the opportunity to be saved. They'll remember that stuff. Churches are full of them. Folks, being here today means nothing for eternity. It's obedient that you're here, because the Bible says, fail not the assembly, but it's not going to get you to heaven. And listen, if you're lost in here today, by all means, please don't leave today not knowing. I don't care if you've been here 40 years or 2 weeks. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you do not know, if you breathed your last breath, if you walked out of these buildings and you got in a car accident on the way home and you breathed your last breath, if you don't know that you'll wake up in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Or like the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Hey, if you don't know Jesus, why on earth would you sit through a message like this? Why on earth would you just turn the cold shoulder to God, knowing that He is the giver and taker of life, folks? It's not up to you when you die. It is absolutely not up to you. You say, oh yeah, I can end my own. You could try. I know a couple of people that have tried to end their own life. Didn't go so good for them. It wasn't their time. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Listen, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, and even let me just take it a little further. If you think you know the Lord, but you're just not sure, and you need someone to just open this Bible one-on-one with you and show you how you, because here's the deal. Don't take my word for it, please. Don't take mom and dad's word. Take God's word for it. This is a no-so salvation. It's not a maybe-so, a hope-so. It's a no-so salvation. And if that's you today, listen, find someone that can open the Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you are saved. As evil as he may be and deceitful as he may be, he still must have permission to devour a child of God. Isn't that good to know that Satan is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? Look, he can't just walk up and just say, I'm coming in. He can't do that. You understand we are covered by the blood. But oh, when you open those doors, come on in, devil. Does that sound silly? That is how we do it. He can't do it, but you give him permission. Come on in, devil. I'll give you permission to ruin my family. Come on in, devil. I'll give you permission to ruin my life. I'll give you permission to come in my home and get a hold into my kids' minds. Come on in, devil. Folks, this is who he is. He has to be granted permission. He's very, very evil. Satan only wants to steal, kill, and destroy hearts and lives around us. But here's the most important thing we need to learn about the devil. We must not forget, yes, he's created. Yes, he's personal. Yes, he's evil. But folks, he's defeated. See, Jesus Christ willingly gave his life for you. And he willingly took hell upon himself, took all the sins of the world upon himself. And man, when he died, you know, the devil thought he had it made. But here's the cool part. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. Hey, folks, that's something to smile about. Satan is defeated. He's not going to win. Listen, his destination, if you read the book of Revelation, he's going to be the last one cast into the lake of fire. And guess who holds the keys to death and hell? Jesus. He can't change his destination. But oh, he can convince you about yours. He can try and try and try. And why would you sit here and let the old devil win a battle that the Lord has already won for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. Meet with us in this next hour. Bless us now. Bless our choir this morning, Lord. I'm excited about the choir singing this morning. That's a blessing. Lord, bless us now in our song service, our business meeting later, Lord. Meet with us there. Bless our services in Jesus' name. Amen.